Freya Jansons is a 2019 Roden Cutler John Monash Scholar. She's a policy advisor working for the Australian government on areas including sustainability, labour exploitation, and women's policy in Australia. She has a Bachelor of Arts with first class honours from the University of Sydney, and her now published thesis winning the Australian Political Studies Association Women in Politics Award. In 2020, Freya completed an MBA at the University of Oxford. Freya, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Now, you're in London. How long have you been in London for?
Yeah, I came back in the middle of March, so I've been here for a couple of months now.
So let me get this straight. You did your master's at Oxford, then came home to Australia, but then went back. Is that right?
Yeah, it was a bit of a mad journey. I was halfway through my degree and the pandemic hit us in the UK, and it was a very hectic couple of days where a bunch of Australians in the course were sort of looking at the announcements from DFAT and thinking, do we make the move? What do we do? And I was one of the ones that decided to come back home. So yeah, I was sort of lucky enough that the course all went online, massively changed. I literally left my two bikes chained up at my college. I recently just went back and they were actually still there, which was amazing. Yeah, but I literally just like left in the middle of, you know, everything.
And so how far into your master's were you?
I was 6 months. And so it was sort of a good time because it was around Christmas and we had a few weeks break, and the course is really interesting the way it's designed. It's like really short 4-week modules. And so it's quite intensive, but it means that you don't have to sort of keep revising the same thing. You just, you know, smash out business finance and smash out social finance, and then you can move on to the next topic. So when I came back to the UK, we were between subjects, so it wasn't too disruptive.
Must have been hard though for you, having won the scholarship and thought, I'm going to go to England and study there for a couple of years, and then having to up stumps after 6 months.
Yeah, it was very different to what I was expecting, going from everything that Oxford is, like all the incredible people that you meet and just all the different experiences, and then being in my bedroom in regional New South Wales with my mum and brother outside the door.
Going, shh, be quiet, I'm in Oxford.
Literally, like a very, very different experience, but also great in its own way.
Yeah, wow. And so what, tell me about what you were studying. I'd like to know about the degree and what you were doing.
So it's a Master's of Business Administration, but the way Oxford have designed the degree is very much focused on the social impact and environmental impact side of business. And so throughout all of the core subjects, like we did sort of accounting and marketing and finance, they weave this understanding of what are the actual impacts in the world of making these business decisions. And so alongside the core subjects, we also did like systems mapping subjects such as Global Opportunities and Threats Oxford, which, you know, you look at a core issue such as climate change in our year, and you look at how businesses are operating in that environment, and you look at it within a system. And so instead of just looking at it as an organization, like what decisions are you making as an organization, you look at what's the system that the organization is operating in, what are the government policies that they interact with, what are the other organizations doing in that industry, and how does it actually relate to these core issues that are impacting us? So, yeah, it was like a really, really interesting, well-rounded course, the way it was designed.
Yeah, okay. And what was your main thesis, your main takeaway, your big project that you did?
Yeah, so there were two, both of them systems mapping projects. The first one, I worked with a small team where we looked at domestic violence and other forms of violence against women in Papua New Guinea. And we looked at how governments and businesses sort of interacted to perpetuate a system of a lack of accountability and a lack of progression on the topic.
How did you come up with that topic? My goodness, that's wow.
My best friend, Shola Diop, was studying with me. We met in the lobby at the business school, and I just heard this like incredibly strong Australian accent, and I thought, who is that? And he is Australian South Sea Islander. And we got talking about this project. You know, we both wanted to sort of explore an issue really in depth and understand the systems. And we got talking, and his mum is Imelda Davis, who's currently a Sydney councillor, and she is the founder of Australian South Sea Islanders Port Jackson, an incredible advocate for Australian South Sea Islanders. And we got talking about the issues that we cared about, and I came from a background of, you know, really being very passionate about women's economic security and understanding, like, what are the intersecting levers to create financial independence and freedom for women. And he came from this background of, you know, wanting to really bring a strong focus to Oxford on the Pacific. And so we got talking, and we thought, you know, this is an issue that's like huge at the moment, and not many people are aware of it around here. You know, there was this sort of feeling that how can we do a project that enables us both to explore this intersecting interest of ours, and it was just something that we thought was really important to look at. And so, yeah, like, it was literally just us working together on this project, and we spoke to some really incredible women activists and advocates who'd been working on this issue, you know, for decades. And it was really incredible because our team ended up winning like the international systems mapping competition with this project. And it was an amazing experience to be able to talk about these issues that are so close to our home, but on the international stage, to people who didn't really know much about the Pacific and about the Australian region. And yeah, it was a really good experience. But the second one was a similar systems mapping competition, Love My Systems Map.
Yes.
And my team looked at sustainable fashion and how you can create a sort of a reinvestment model by using sustainable fibers. So how do you actually create incentives for the fashion industry to move away from these really extractive fibers that we currently rely on? And how do you place the empowerment of workers in the supply chain at the core of that investment model? So those were the two big projects.
You're back in London. So where are you working at the moment?
So I'm currently working with the Office for Women in the Department of the Prime Minister and Cabinet. I'm working remotely. So yeah, they've been really incredible and very supportive. And I focus on women's economic policy, including industry, leadership, skills. I look at entrepreneurship policy, green energy policy, manufacturing, and I work closely with the fantastic Workplace Gender Equality Agency.
And obviously, no doubt you've stayed in touch with events over the weekend. So we've had a change in government in Australia. Is that likely to impact the work you do, or it's business as usual?
Yeah, it's definitely going to impact the work I do. Yeah, it's really interesting because I've never worked under a Labor government. So it's definitely going to change the focus of our policies. There's obviously a continued strong focus on women's economic security, on domestic violence policy, but it's, yeah, very much changed in terms of the approach that we're going to be taking to it. So a big part of our work is gender impact analysis. So looking at, you know, what are the first order and second order impacts of these policies on women in Australia. I think that's going to have a renewed focus under this government.
And I know all the portfolios haven't been accounted for yet, but am I right in saying that it's Katie Gallagher who is the Minister for Women?
Yeah, at this stage, that's who we've been told, yeah.
Well, I think, no, she was sworn in the other day with other portfolios, but Minister for Women was one of them. It sparked my memory.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
What's the plan, Freya? How long, you might not know, there might not be a plan. How long are you planning to just stay in England?
At the moment, I'd like to stay until the end of the year. There's some projects that I'm really excited about and some work that we're doing in my team that I think is really important. It's sort of supporting the Workplace Gender Equality Agency in their next phase. And they're such an incredible lever for gender equality in workplaces in Australia. And so, like, I'm really, really excited about that. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'd like to return to Australia. I love Australia. Like, I think it's a really exciting sort of time of development and growth coming out of the pandemic. And I can see myself coming back in the next few years. I just don't have solid plans yet. I've decided to listen to the advice of the last couple of years and collaborate with Chance.
Oh, I think that's excellent advice. Whoever's given you that, why not? You're only young. You've got a big life ahead of you. So I'm keen to know, Freya. Tell us about your background. Where did you grow up? Where was home for you?
Yeah, I grew up in a little town on the south coast of New South Wales. So I grew up in a town called Kiama.
The blowhole.
Yep, the blowhole, the big old draw card.
I love the blowhole. I've been there many times.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really lovely. Like, I've got a really lovely family. I've got on the middle sibling of two brothers. So everything that comes with that, you know. No, it's good.
Yes,
it's beautiful. Like, I played a lot of sport. My parents sort of got us into reading and, like, appreciated education from a very young age. Wasn't allowed to watch more than 2 hours of TV every Friday, which, you know, promoted other activities. So, yeah, it was a really lovely little town.
Mm. You're probably studying, reading, hitting the books.
Yeah, massive nerd from day one. It was lovely, really lovely childhood.
And so what was the local high school?
The local high school was Kiama High, but me and both my brothers went to a different school. We went to, it was a public selective high school called Smith Seal High School, about an hour away. So it was one of my, like, pretty formative experiences, catching the train an hour there and then an hour back each day. And you just sort of, you're suddenly in the real world as, like, a 12, 13 year old, you know, catching the train with commuters and people just from all walks of life. And yeah, it was a really interesting experience, but it was definitely, like, one of the first times I made a choice to, you know, travel a little further and to sort of do something a little bit different, because I really wanted to put myself in a community of people who were, like, committed to learning and committed to their education. So, yeah, it was a fantastic school. Yeah, like, very could have, you know, done with a bit of an upgrade of facilities, and teachers could have been paid more.
I might be listening. We'll give them a shout out. Yeah.
Yeah. Big up to Smiths Hill. Like, great school. Great school.
And so when you were going through year 12, as all students at some point think, well, what am I going to do? How is all this going to work? What was your thought process when you were trying to figure out what career might be suitable for you?
It's a good question, because I remember being very undecided about it. And I think that was the big overwhelming feeling, that I thought some certainty would have arrived, or, like, you know, I would have had some sort of direction. But all I knew is that I loved leadership. Like, I was a school captain at the time. I loved the SRC stuff, the Student Representative Council. I loved thinking through how do you create an environment that people can do their best in and engage properly with each other, and, like, how do you make those sort of overarching decisions about things? And I loved it. And so I thought, you know, politics, government, that's the direction I want to explore. So for a while, you know, I thought maybe I'll do law, because I was craving certainty, but I very quickly realized that was not the path for me, because I'm not super detail oriented and I didn't feel excited by it. And so I think it's, like, really important to pay attention to what you feel excited about and, like, where your energy comes alive. And so I just decided politics. And then I was looking at different universities, and the housing situation in Sydney is crazy. Like, trying to figure it out, you know, when you're not from a major city and you don't have strong networks and you, like, don't have a huge amount of money, and so you're patching together different part-time jobs, and, like, you know you have to figure it out. And it was very much a process of me just having to, like, really figure it out every single day. It ended up being very formative, because I lived in this student cooperative where there were 40 students living together in this, like, old converted glass factory.
Where was that? Was that on campus?
So it was officially on campus, but it was out the back of Newtown. It's called Stucco Student Cooperative.
And this is Sydney University, I should clarify.
Yes. Yeah, Sydney University. So in the 90s, some architecture students had squatted in the old glass factory and then come to an agreement with the university and New South Wales Housing to convert it into sort of partial social housing for students. And so
it's like, by the way, we own this now. So yeah, go correct.
On. Yeah, it was 100% like that. And it was an incredible experiment that turned out to be the way that I could sort of afford to live in Sydney. And I just learned everything about.
So you were a student squatter.
I mean, I was there often.
Legitimately, yeah.
I was there legitimately. Yeah, but I mean, it was pretty amazing. It was 40 students running the place. We had finance committee, membership committee, building and maintenance committee. I made my way around all of the committees through my time there. I don't know how useful I was in building and maintenance. I remember putting up some Ethernet wires pretty haphazardly. But yeah, it was a good experience.
And so you were doing an arts degree, is that right?
Yeah. So I was doing a major of government and international relations, and I was taking a lot of like philosophy. I did some Latin. I sort of had this idea that I wanted to give myself this like foundational education in case, you know, there were different things I wanted to go off and do, but it just turned out to be, it taught me critical thinking, I think, above everything else.
Great skill.
That, there were just some brilliant philosophy professors, and like I had this brilliant gender studies professor who I remember just sitting in that class and thinking, she is answering all of the questions that I have been asking about why things are like the particular way that they are, and like how to make decisions in a better way, and like what are these overriding structures that I keep coming up against. And I just remember sitting there and thinking, like, this is the direction I want to go in. I want to look at gender equality and women, and like how your background influences your social mobility and your capacity to participate in decisions. And I just remember that being like a really key time for me in terms of forming my direction.
So that's a 3-year degree, and then you've done honours for a fourth.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what year are we at now? When was that?
So I finished in 2015, and then I went straight into the government in 2016.
And then so how did the John Monash Scholarship come about? I'm keen, I always like to ask the scholars what was going through their mind, how that all came about and what the process was like. What's your journey?
I had recently left my job in government, and I had taken a bit of a different path. I remember when I told my mentor at the time what I had decided to do, because I decided to leave government to go and do some fashion design. I remember calling him up and he laughed down the phone and he was just like, of course, that's what you're going to do.
Of course, yes.
Yeah, so I'd been working at the time on some policy looking at the Modern Slavery Act that Australia introduced in 2018.
Yes.
Yep. And a lot of modern slavery happens in the fashion and textile industry, and a lot of that impacts women, who are the majority workers in the industry. And so I just remember thinking, you know, this is an issue I'm very, very passionate about. How can I look at this differently? Maybe I'll just go and try and work in the industry and sort of learn a bit more about it. So, yeah, I'd gone to fashion design school for a little bit. Very quickly learnt that was not the right path for me.
You have to give me some stories on fashion school. Come on.
I mean, there's a lot. So it was a small class, and our tutors were very intense, very focused people. And I kept asking questions about, when you're designing something, you've got to look at the provenance of the fabrics that you're using and who's wearing them and like, what is it saying about them? And I just remember my tutor coming over to me, and her favorite thing to say to me was, you're not writing a thesis.
Yeah, you're a bit intense. Tone it down. We're making a dress.
That's literally what she said. Yeah. So I was just like, I don't know. And, you know, I just got into it with a couple of my classmates who just were so focused on the aesthetics of design. Yes. And took it to another level where, you know, they were just being rude to people in our class, being incredibly disrespectful. And, yeah, it's just I saw a type of...
It wasn't for you.
Yeah, it wasn't for me. Wasn't the right sort of community, I think. And... wasn't the right kind of work.
It's worth a go, though. Sounds like a good, like, good learning experience.
Yeah, I make clothes. I've designed and made clothes since I was very little, and you know, I would make a dress that didn't have a neck hole. You know, so I love doing it, and I will always sew. I'll always make things. It's super important to me. I think it's just like it just wasn't the right form of work for me.
And so anyway, I sidetracked you there. So you were thinking about applying for the scholarship.
Yeah. And so I had sort of been looking more about at sustainability and fashion and trying to understand the labor exploitation issues and, like, you know, where best to intervene in the whole system. I saw business school as a way of sort of very quickly getting myself up to speed with the levers of change in the system. And so I thought, you know, I spoke to a lot of people. I had applied for a lot of different sort of random assistance jobs in the fashion industry because I thought, how can I learn these things? Like, how can I get into that industry? And people just consistently said, you know, business school is a way that you can learn all these like very core concepts, give yourself a good foundation of knowledge and work in the industry in a sort of effective way. And so I thought business school is the way to go. And then I my heart fell when I saw the fees and I thought, how do people do this? This is insane. I had also, like, from sort of transferring from Australia to England and from fashion school, very quickly seen how important, like, having a strong community around you is. And I just thought, how can I do this next stage? And then a friend of mine said, you know, have you heard of the John Monash Foundation? They're brilliant. They're, you know, Australian born and bred. They support Australians who want to go out and do something very specific for Australia. And I thought, well, that's exactly what I want to do.
That sounds good.
Yeah. So I applied. And I mean, as soon as I met Anne-Marie, I thought, you guys are legends. And they have been ever since. Like, it's such a strong, incredible community.
And so where were you when you found out that you'd got it? I like to ask that.
Yeah, I'll never forget this. I was flying back to the UK and I had this moment in Gatwick Airport where I turned on my phone and I was about to change from my Australian SIM to my UK SIM, and I got a phone call from Anne-Marie and she said, go and study your brilliant course. And I just could not believe it. I just got full shivers and I thought, this sort of thing doesn't happen to me. Like, she's saying yes. And I just saw this door open in front of me and I just thought, oh my goodness, like, I can actually go and do this incredible thing that I thought I would never be able to do. And yet there she is saying, here's the chance, go and take it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And so when was that? That was 2018, was it?
Yeah, that was 2018. Yeah, and then went and had a massive bowl of the most delicious noodles I've ever had in my life.
Celebrating in style.
Yeah.
Freya style with a big bowl of noodles. Yeah. So any more study on the horizon? What's you sound as though there might be something.
I don't know. I thought maybe if there was something that comes out of my work that I want to look at in more depth, like a research question I'd want to explore, I'd consider a PhD. But I'm loving working. Like, I really love I love what I'm doing at the moment. I love working directly on these issues. So, yeah, I'm not sure yet, but it's still a possibility.
And what about the idea of being on the front line yourself? Given we've just had an election, any thoughts about putting yourself forward for a political office, public life at any point? What do you think?
Yeah, it's not something I've thought about a lot. I think there are lots of people at the moment in the political field that I would love to work for. I think there are some brilliant leaders, some people with fantastic ideas, and I would love to be part of their team. In terms of me being in politics, I don't know. I'm not great in the limelight. I just don't know. It's not something I've seriously thought about.
I love it. Well, Freya, we're out of time. What a wonderful catch up. That was an amazing interview. I loved hearing from you, and all the very best for the future and the years ahead. And we will follow your progress with much interest. So thanks very much for coming onto the show today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It was a delight.